right, now I'm here with the Screen Queen Tamika, back on the official FOW Radio Network.
I am awesome because we did not kill a territory. I just want to go on record and say that. So I'm feeling really good. And, you know, it's been a good couple weeks. There's lots of wrestling that we need to kind of cover and go into. So let's do it.
Let's get started with the Mae Young Classic. 32 of the best women wrestlers in the world were represented here. And now we're down to the two finalists. Before we take a look at that, now we did briefly talk about the first round last week. Now, but let's focus a little on the second round, because to me, I thought that the quarterfinals were much better than the first round.
As any tournament goes, it should get progressively better. And this tournament did just that. It got progressively better. I absolutely, positively loved the way WWE painted stories for each of these ladies. How no one was weak. How everyone and anyone at any time could have picked up a win in their respective matches. Quarterfinals moving in. My gosh. Mercedes Martinez, I am so happy with just the way they showcased and the way they pushed Mercedes, being that she has been in this business for 16 years, how she's wrestled any and everywhere. Mercedes looked like a superstar. Mercedes looked absolutely perfect, absolutely unstoppable, almost indestructible. Until she got to Shayna Baszler. And they even, again, they told a story about how Mercedes mentored Shayna, how this was part of a unit. They mentioned Trifecta, showed some video. They didn't hide anything necessarily. They pushed it enough that people understood that, you know what, this was a special match you were seeing. You were seeing something that could have gone either way. And Mercedes did not look weak. She did not, she tapped out in the end, but she looked stronger than anybody else in that tournament who stepped into the ring against Shayna Baszler. So I loved every moment of this tournament. I binge watched from beginning to the end. Just tonight I finished again, and it was great to see, and everybody did such a good job. It was amazing. I loved watching women's wrestling take the forefront and center in a WWE ring without any of the theatrics, the tricks, the stupidity that was Divas Wrestling or anything to that effect that WWE had put on before this quote-unquote women's revolution. This was wrestling in its purest form. This was women's wrestling in its most intricate form, and just, it was beautiful. It really was.
Now, what would you say was probably one of your favorite matches of the second round?
Oh, wow. It's hard to pick a favorite, but I will have to go with, oh my gosh, I was impressed by Dakota Kai. I liked Evie as she was previously. She looked like a star. She really did. She brought a different dynamic to just all of her matches. You know, she fought a lot from underneath, and being that she's tall and kind of lanky, that quickness, that speed, those boots, those kicks, those were great. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I watched everything that she did, and I think that is kind of key for someone you want to be a superstar in your future, somebody who just draws the eyes to them to watch their moves. Of course, Toni Storm, oh my gosh, Toni Storm versus Kairi Sane, Kairi Hojo, if you will. I think that would have to be my favorite match, just because those girls went after it. They did some stuff that I wasn't expecting. Everybody kind of played it safe. There was not a whole lot of dive. There was a couple dives, but not a whole lot of outside of the ring work. Kairi Sane ate the steel ramp when she dived out. Her face literally had an imprint. These girls were going for it. Toni Storm is a rock star. The WWE, I don't know how much money or what they need to do to throw at this girl to get her onto the roster full time, but she absolutely shined. Kairi Sane, we were expecting. I think a lot of people were expecting Kairi Sane to go all the way in this tournament. So it was just kind of a no-brainer. Toni Storm, a lot of people, a lot of buzz about her. Everybody knows her work. I think she showed now a more global and a more WWE-based audience exactly who she is and who she can be. And she has some of the same rock star mannerisms that remind me of Shawn Michaels back in the day, how he had that charisma, that swag, that just kind of rock star mentality. And to have that just live in someone who's just dynamic and young, who has no place to go but up, I think is a benefit for the WWE or any promotion. Of course, her home promotion, they know what they have, but if the WWE gets her and does right by her, I see nothing but great things happening for a women's division that has Toni Storm in the mix.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that. Toni Storm, fantastic. I love the whole thing. To me, one of the biggest standouts was Dakota Kai. I loved every performance of hers. I even saw some people say that they would love for her to teach Finn Balor how to do the double stomp. I thought she was great. I mean, she is great. I don't think anyone doubts that. People who are more familiar with her work, I'm not. I mean, I've seen her here and there, but not to this extent. So immediately, great. Yeah, her and Sane put a great match. Toni Storm, I've been watching a lot of her this year through Progress, of course. I thought all of her work was great. Another big standout, Piper Niven. People have said things about her size, but you know what? Size doesn't matter when you have skill, and she, you know, has a lot of great skill. Candice LeRae, somebody, you know, who I'm a big fan of, been watching a long time. To me, Abby Laith, fantastic. Always loved her work. My favorite match of the whole tournament so far, with her and Jessie Gabbert. That was a fantastic match that I still can't stop thinking about. I think she had a lot of great showings. Rachel Evers, of course, I'm a big fan. So, you know, she really looked great. So we could go on and on. Shayna Baszler. A lot of people really enjoyed her first round match. I didn't. I'm not sure exactly why. But as it progressed, I loved the whole gimmick with her getting the choke out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Those chokes, I mean, the very last one when she grabbed Mercedes, I mean, pulling people out of the air, and like, she pulled Candice LeRae out of the air from the second rope into a choke. It looked bad at first, because I was like, oh wow, what is this bad? Oh gosh, he threw a choke on her in the middle of the air. I didn't expect it. I really didn't. I expected her to like grab from the ground to pull this girl into a choke. I expected her to choke Candice out. I really did, just because they were pushing Shayna as a beast, and she is a legitimate beast. We'll give her that. But to pull Candice out of the air into that choke and literally just almost kill this girl, looks like she killed this girl, was fantastic. The camera work for when she grabbed Mercedes into that choke. Again, Mercedes had I don't want to say been dominating that match, but Mercedes did not back down. Mercedes was throwing some stiff, some hard forearms in there. She was literally going kind of toe-to-toe with Shayna Baszler. And for her, that choke that she had on Mercedes was so tight. The camera was right there, and you could see there was no getting out of that. There was no escaping that. There was nothing Mercedes could do other than tap out or pass out. It was literally just black and white and so hardcore, where it was like you felt for Mercedes, but you, man, girl, tap out because you're going to go out. It was amazing. Again, the progression of the tournament, how everybody's story moved forward without there being a real story. Shayna, like you said, the first round was just like, okay. But as you moved forward, you saw more attitude. You saw more fierceness. You saw more dominance. Kairi Sane, to get to the point where she's in the finals. You saw her in the beginning all smiley and happy and just, you know, doing little things, being athletic, being entertaining to the crowd, where as she moved forward, as she progressed, she got more serious. The smile left her face. She took more of a beating, but she still was able to stand up and, you know, hit that elbow drop, throw a spear in there where people weren't expecting. So they did a really good job. Every girl, every story was told to perfection. Everybody performed to perfection. I can't think of one girl who just kind of disappointed me, like going, oh, you know, she shouldn't have been here. There could have been somebody replace her she was not good for the 32. Every person, every woman played her role to perfection and did such a good job, where I am looking forward to this last showing to see Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler, to see if this little bitty, itty-bitty pirate can overcome this huge MMA beast to win this inaugural tournament. It's going to be great. It's going to be, I think, brutal, because I think Shayna has a lot to prove, and I think Kairi has a lot to prove. So that means both of them are going to step up and just probably go all out, balls to the wall, no pun intended, and we're going to be in for a good dang show.
It's going to be a great match, I have no doubt. Who are you liking on that one? I could see them going with either one. To me, it's kind of like, I feel like at the Cruiserweight Classic, we thought at the semifinals time, we were going to get Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kota Ibushi in the finals. Instead, we didn't get that. We got TJ Perkins versus Grand Metalik. In this instance, now we get two girls who were in many people's minds favorites. So who are you going with here? Are you going with Kairi Sane, who is signed with the WWE? That's a well-known fact. Or Shayna Baszler, who publicly has not said anything, but she's basically saying she can't say anything about that, which makes you think that she's probably signed.
I am going to go with the Beast in this case, just because I like the progression. I was not a fan. I've watched her outside of this tournament, and I've seen her progression, her wrestling progression as she's grown up, switching from MMA into wrestling. I'm pretty sure I've seen one of her first wrestling matches, and to say that she's come a long way is an understatement. So I like where she is right now. I like what she's doing. I like that she seems comfortable now in a wrestling ring, that she knows what she wants to do, that she's able to execute moves, that she's able to put on a great wrestling match and a show. So against someone like Kairi Sane, who is a professional, who's been doing this for a while, who has a great following, who's got that Japanese strong style spirit, I think that Shayna is going to beat that out of her, or at least beat her into submission. So I'm going to go with the Queen of Spades. The Queen is going with the Queen.
Me, of course, I'm going with one of the real members of the Four Horsewomen. It's going to be a fantastic show, though. So apparently we may also be getting 205 Live. Not sure when. It's on the West Coast, so they have that to their advantage where they can, you know, at 11 o'clock our time. Well, 10 o'clock our time, it's 7 p.m. over there. So you would think that they have people there that can actually still be awake and fired up for the show.
We'll see. We're hoping for a crowd.
Speaking of 205 Live, are we a couple haters?
I think we're a couple haters. And I'm okay with this hate because it is what it is. Because you're not a certified G. LSG stands for go the F on. Enzo Amore is now a part of the 205 Live roster. Not only that, as of last night, he now has a shot at the cruiserweight title. I understand what this is. I just don't like it. This is a weird kind of Dr. Frankenstein experiment slash perhaps punishment where the WWE is trying to get people invested in 205 Live. What better way than to bring somebody from the main roster who fits in the 205 Live weight limit, who actually has a mouth that probably weighs 205 by itself. Enzo is a great talker. He is not the best performer slash wrestler, but people recognize him. Kids want to buy that silly little wig. Everybody wants to be a certified G. They want to do the sayings and what have you. So Enzo maybe is not as well liked in the main locker room. You put him down in 205 Live. You put him on the mic. You let him run around and be a little, I don't know, I want to say hindrance. You let him run around and be a little pain in the ass. And people buy into this great product. That's, I think, what the hope is. I don't know if that's going to be the reality, and it bothers my soul.
I hate every single minute of the thought that the fact that Enzo Amore is the number one contender for the Cruiserweight Championship, that he is going to No Mercy, and he's going to possibly win this belt. If anything, I hope that this means he'll eventually take it from Neville and then lose it to Cedric. We saw what he did. After Cedric eliminated everybody else, may I add, amazing performance by Cedric Alexander on Tuesday night. You know, that 205 Live crowd post-SmackDown start dying down. Man, Cedric and Grandma to the League, they did their thing. And the people were like, this is awesome. And they were fired up.
What we've been saying.
Cedric does the work. And then this little creep out of nowhere rolls him up, pulls it tight. So hopefully this is setting the story for something else to happen. Enzo Amore cannot be what the 205. I mean, okay, let me say this. If Enzo Amore is the height of 205 Live, then yes, I agree with everybody saying that 205 Live is crap. Because there's a lot of people who are disappointed from the Cruiserweight Classic to 205 Live. It's very weird how 205 Live was done. It's weird how they do it now, so late at night. It's everything about it is odd. You know, why they're not filming this at Full Sail? Why aren't they taking advantage of that? That there's magic in that. Instead, you have to have him in the main roster, which is fine. I have no problem with it, them being in the main roster, but you're losing something when you put him in the slot when people are not so invested. And especially with a lot of people who are unknown.
We've been saying that from day one, that they need to go back to Full Sail. They need to go in front of a real wrestling crowd. People who know who these guys are. These guys were stars on the independent scene. These guys, if you let them go, if you pull back the WWE curtain and say, you know what? Do what brought you to the dance. Do what people know. Go all out. Put on a great match. Do what you guys do. If we got a brief slice and sampling of that with Cedric and Graham and the Leak this past Tuesday, what have you, on 205 Live. A brief little sample got those people who were generally dead for this 205 Live crowd, got them hyper. If WWE wants to succeed, you do not put Enzo Amore in 205 Live. You do not let him be number one contender, and you do not put a belt on him. You let these guys go. You stop making Drew Gulak write to censor 2017 with this stupid, you know, make 205 Live a better place and slideshows and all this other craziness. You let these guys wrestle. You let them fly. You let them hit hard. You let them punch. You let them be the gentlemen, the guys that you scouted, that you pulled out of the indies, and you let them work the pace, the style, the matches that they have been doing all their careers, that is natural to them, that is natural to wrestling audiences. And that will get them over. That will get your crowd hype. That will get your people invested. And that will get you what this show needs. But the WWE won't do that. And it just upsets me. It hurts my feelings as a fan of some of these guys, of all of these guys, because I know what they're capable of, and this short attention span WWE fan base would buy in if the WWE would let the reins go and let them do what they do. If Enzo Amore wins this title, this Cruiserweight title at No Mercy, I will scream, but I will hope to everything, heaven, hell, holy and unholy, that we are indeed, like you said, on a storyline path that gets the belt on Cedric. Even with the belt on Cedric, I still don't know what the WWE is going to do if they don't let go of the reins to make this show, to make these competitors more viable for their audience. The indie crowds, we're in. We've bought in. We dialed in. But it's that WWE fan base who just, they don't know who these guys are, or they just are not invested. These are the folks who we need to have buy into the product. And I don't know what the WWE is going to do. If Enzo Amore is their answer, they need to ask a different question.
Enzo Amore, it's kind of like that zit that you have that you try to get rid of, it keeps popping back up. I thought that when Cass got hurt, I'm like, well, maybe this is a blessing in disguise, and Enzo will be in the background somewhere doing, you know, comedy skits in the background, you know. Somebody had the dumb idea to put him on 205 Live, and now we're screwed. But he's going to be in a title match against Neville. I can't skip that.
Well, maybe it'll be on a pre-show, so, you know, you might not have a choice. Perhaps we'll have, you know, something else happening, like a bowel movement at the time that his match is on, and you'll just have to go back and look to see who won. I mean,
I may go to your bathroom even if I don't need to, just so I don't have to see it.
I like how you compared it to a zit. I was going to say a zit on your backside, which is, again, a good comparison. So, again, I feel that maybe we buried him too harshly. Not really. The whole thing is, again, Enzo Amore is not a cruiserweight. And it is a slap in the face to these gentlemen, these guys who've been working their tails off all this time to stick this buffoon in the midst of what they've been doing and take away from all their hard work. The WWE needs to be slapped across the face and remove Enzo from our misery. That's all I'm asking. I don't think that's a lot.
But let's actually talk about something that is good and right with the world. And that is that Alexa Bliss has regained the championship that she should have never lost. All right? The wannabe boss got to be a champ for a week. And then, you know, of course, being the choke artist that she is.
Wow.
Okay, we know Sasha is not very good at title defenses.
Yeah.
All right, and Alexa proved it. Once again, regaining her championship at the top of the WWE Women's Division. I'm talking the entire division. Look, she'll be champion as long as she wants to be champion. Now, let me tell you about somebody who's ungrateful. And that is Nia Jax. Alexa allowed Nia to stand by her side. Not only did Little Miss Bliss have to carry that championship belt on one side, then she had to carry Nia on the other. And that's what she, you know, then she takes Alexa and just drops her post-match.
Bad habit.
That is bad sportsmanship. It shows how ungrateful she is after all that Alexa has done for her by allowing her to be by her side, you know. But now she wants to stand by losers. By all means, she can go do that.
I need your glasses because I need to see exactly how you see these things, because you don't have rose-colored glasses. You have bliss-colored glasses, and that's amazing. Okay, first and foremost, let's talk about Sasha Banks not being able to defend the title. I really don't understand why the WWE won't let her defend the title. She every time she wins the title, she cannot retain on a title defense. That makes absolutely positively no sense. For this to be such a revolution in women's wrestling, to have one of your top stars continuously not successfully defend the belt is a travesty. You have pushed Sasha continuously, so why put a belt on her just to take it off a week later? Now, I understand Alexa Bliss is a viable competitor. I'm not going to take anything away from Little Miss Bliss because I don't want you to hit me later. But Sasha Banks should not have lost or won these matches between the two of them. And now Alexa has gotten herself into a little bit of a problem, that problem being Nia Jax. Nia Jax is now in the title picture along with Emma. There is a fatal four-way for the Raw Women's Championship. That is a problem because I do not see Alexa winning or retaining her title with this fatal four-way. I see something really crazy happening in this match. Emma could walk out with this title belt, and that is a travesty. Anybody but Emma. Can we start that hashtag? Hashtag anybody but Emma.
But I like Emma.
I would even, she's ridiculous. She is ridiculous. Again, great competitor, but they have made her character into something that I do not want to see, that I am not interested in. The fact that she's doing all these hashtags, give Emma a chance, and I started the Women's Revolution, and backstage, the vignettes that they're doing with her, I don't like Emma. If she would shop and wrestle, I would like her. The mouth, the promos, I am not loving. Nia Jax is not ready to be Raw Women's Champion. I would even put the belt on Nia, who she's not as green as grass anymore, but she is truly not ready, in my eyes, to carry the Raw Women's title. But anybody but Emma, and they're not going to give it to Sasha because I don't know who she ticked off, but man, you can hold this belt for like 3.2 seconds and then we're going to take it off you. So, I just, I like Alexa Bliss. Don't get me wrong. She's great. She's a perfect heel champion. But this whole four-way should not be happening. And I'm scared that this is an excuse to put the belt on Emma for some ungodly reason. Alexa Bliss is okay. She's not all that. She is great at what she does. Her heel work is second to none. I mean, she's the number one heel. I'll give you that. She's the number one heel as far as the women go. She might be almost the number one heel as far as the entire roster goes, because she's that good on the mic and just her whole everything, her mannerisms, her running and ducking from all these girls and just kind of saddling up to them going, oh, I need you now. Hi, would you like to be friends? I mean, she's great, but something funky is happening here. And if she doesn't retain this title and they put it on Emma, again, I don't know what to do with the WWE. I'm going to throw my hands in the air and just hope that, I don't know, hope that perhaps we get a savior in Asuka or something coming to save the division, because they're going to need it if they do something stupid like put the belt on Emma. Again, I don't like Emma, just putting that out there.
Well, you can't have good taste about everything. Look, I think that WWE can do a lot with Emma. She's very talented. She's going to show what she can do if given an opportunity. So I'm looking forward to seeing her in the match. Nia wants to talk about what people have earned and what they've done to earn it. She wants to go into Twitter and talk about that. Right? Let's see how much Nia would have gotten and how far she would have gone if she was not DJ's cousin.
Wow.
Let's be real. How much of that impacted her career? All right. Has she earned some of her, did she earn some stuff? Of course. But look, let's be honest. There's a reason why they are... what's the word? Hold on. There are perks to being The Rock's cousin. If you look at everybody who's related to The Rock right now, Roman Reigns, The Usos, and Nia Jax, aren't all three mentioned people, entities, in title pictures? It's just, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but heck, I'll be The Rock's cousin if it gets me somewhere.
I will be The Rock's cousin as well. As a matter of fact, I would quickly be The Rock's cousin if it got me any place close to being in a title picture. So, yeah, I'm not mad at that.
So, I'm not saying, again, I'm not hating on her, but, some of her stuff on Twitter, whether it's, kayfabe, shoot, it's whatever. Some happy news. With the wrestling, Baby Cage is coming. As Brian Cage and Melissa Santos announced, they're having a baby.
Aww, that's cute. That's adorable. I love it when people have babies. We're looking at the next generation. There's a lot of second and third generation wrestlers that we are privy to right now, and you would hope and figure that this kid is going to be a genetic freak and eventually wind up in a wrestling ring. So 18, 19 years from now, we'll look at this baby Cage and see how he or she has developed and what kind of machine it's evolved into.
And lastly, of course, coming of Triple Mania 25, the big saga with Sexy Star and Rosemary. Rosemary, of course, she put her lengthy note on Twitter about what happened, saying it's not a shoot. It was unprofessional. Everybody apologized to her. Then we see Global Force Wrestling do a video package of the happening backstage. So now what? They're turning it into a storyline? So, okay, that makes me wonder. Sexy Star now you know, breaks her silence. First, she was at a dance competition that she's a part of, I believe. Maybe a Mexican version of Dancing with Stars. And she was very distraught. She was crying. She was talking about how, you know, people were accusing her of doing something wrong. She was saying she was being professional, but she was getting all the love and support from her family and friends. Then she went on Twitter and then posted her own note talking about Rosemary, saying that they talked about what was going to happen. She was okay. Afterwards, she spoke to Rosemary, and Rosemary said she was fine. She was never attended by, you know, by the doctors. She walked off on her own. No one said anything to her the night of the show. And it wasn't until the backlash on Twitter where she was attacked and bullied, and that everything went according to plan, that she did what the character of Sexy Star always does. So we have two total opposite sides. You know, all we had at that time, at one time, was Rosemary's side. Now we have a, you know, Sexy Star side, and it's something completely different. She has been stripped of the Reina de Reinas championship. So does that mean AAA is done with Sexy Star? It could mean that, but I don't know. I mean, they haven't fired her. Maybe they just didn't want public backlash, but then again, it's AAA. They always have a reason for public backlash. Apparently, Johnny Mundo now calls out Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes was very opinionated on Twitter. And then it looks like Morrison may be taking Sexy Star side. So now we're seeing this going back and forth. So there's nothing definite. Could this all be a ploy? Is this a storyline, or is this legit?
I was talking to a wrestler and about this when it first happened, and I was like fired up and saying, you know, asking him, how do you feel? Because, you know, you guys, you trust one another, and, you know, for someone to kind of go into the business for themselves, isn't that just the worst? And he said, calm your nerves. It's a work. And I went, what? No, no way. There are too many people, you know, weighing in. There's so much buzz, so much whatever. He's like, exactly. It's a work. That there's so much buzz. There are people so fired up. You know, Rosemary's put it out there. She's working, you guys. Wait till you hear from Sexy Star. It'll be a different story. And damn it, if it wasn't true, hear from Sexy Star now. It's a different story. I don't know for sure. And that's a good thing, and that's a bad thing, because you want this to not be true, because you would hope that nobody would intentionally get into the ring and do such a thing to another person, considering that this is something that, you know, their livelihoods, and, you know, we like the entertainment portion of it. We like the sports portion of it, but you never want to see anybody actually legitimately get hurt. So you hope that, you know, it didn't happen. At the same time, gosh, do I feel stupid if it is a work, you know? Sexy Star now is portraying the victim that, you know, she didn't do anything but her regular job and to make, you know, things look real or what have you, that she didn't actually hurt the girl. And Johnny Mundo, of all people, coming to Sexy Star's defense is just a mind blower, because Sexy Star was a person who was handed the belt that was stripped from Taya, Johnny Mundo's fiance, and is just by Triple H. So it's just like a whole big weird circle of craziness, because why would Mundo come to her defense when, you know, I understand Sexy Star didn't just take the belt from Taya, but still, you want to kind of defend your woman and not defend this other woman. why would Sexy Star portray the victim if, you know, in her mind, even if she was wrong and she did do it on purpose, you spin this to make yourself look the victim? That's even worse than the actual crime itself. So I'm still confused. I mean, I was not confused. I was going, nope, it's real, it's real, it's real. And now I don't know. I don't know what to think. I think that Triple H stripping her of the belt is great, but it also leaves questions about why she's not fired. Because, again, there were several promotions and places like WrestleCade that dropped her. Cody Rhodes was, again, very outspoken. Cody Rhodes is everywhere on the independent scene, and he said she can't be in any locker room that I'm in. You know, that's huge because he's everywhere. So I just really, 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 if it's a work, it's the best work ever. I mean, it's like, I don't know, Montreal Screwjob type work. You know, I don't even know what to compare it to because there's nothing in my mind that I can think of that is along the same lines. But again, sometimes in wrestling, things that are real turn into things that are fake for the benefit of making money. So we may never actually get the quote unquote real truth because at this point, everybody's talking about it so much and so many people and entities are involved that you would be crazy not to make this in your favor, make this work in your favor if you're a promotion like AAA where you go, hey, listen, here's the deal. I'm going to pay you X amount of money. I'm going to pay you X amount of money. Rosemary, you X amount of money, Sexy Star. Let's make this a profitable situation for everybody. So it's crazy. It's so much happening. And again, I wish I knew the absolute truth. But damn, if we're worked, we're worked into a frenzy. And that's good for business.
Indeed, it is good for business. But it sucks if it is a work that it was through all this.
Mm-hmm.
If everything's according to Rosemary's side, then, you know, Triple A's doing the right thing by stripping her the belt. But if everything's like Sexy Star says, then, man, people are just being shady. There's somebody who's wrong in this situation. It's hard to say. We weren't there. We don't know. All we can do is speculate, but who knows? I guess we'll find out sooner than later. And if Sexy Star ends up showing up at the Impact Zone.
Oh, gosh. Imagine that crowd. I mean, because there's some smart fans in the Impact audience, and you know they'll recap it. Josh Matthews will be like, oh, my gosh, Sexy Star from Mexico who hurt Rosemary. I mean, they'll do. That would be interesting. Oh, my gosh, that'd be so interesting.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to stay tuned. Tamika, great talking to you again this week. So we'll talk again next week. Have a great rest of your week. A great weekend. Much love, Tamika.
Bye.
Hey, Danny. How's it going today?
Hey, doing all right, man. Doing all right. Always a wild and entertaining time for wrestling here in 2017.
It is, especially if you're a company that owns another company that has wrestling in it, you'll always find drama as Anthem Sports and Entertainment seems like they're having.
Oh, goodness gracious, yeah.
It's a new month, so I figure we got to get our TNA Impact talk out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, and they're definitely stirring it up this week. Starting, you know, stemming back to the Triple Mania. Apparently, the word I heard was it started partially with there, at least Jarrett's end of it. Anthem management felt that Jarrett, at the term I heard, was not fit to wrestle. I'm not sure if that means that they thought he was like intoxicated, or they just didn't feel that he was like physically in shape as he should have been for a big show.
What I'm hearing is both, that he was intoxicated and he was a little bit out of shape.
And it's not like Jeff Jarrett wrestles a very physical style anyways. What kind of shape do you need to get in to wrestle a Jeff Jarrett match?
I mean, apparently you had to be in some type of shape. But the thing is that Jeff Jarrett has had one shape most of his life. So that's if true. He lets himself go,
it's noticeable. Yeah. Yeah. He's been in the same physique since like 1994. Yeah. So he was there, and that's kind of when Anthem decided, or Global Force decided, they didn't want Jarrett to be a part of them anymore. So I've heard a couple different explanations on this too. I've heard that they fired him. I've heard they asked him to step down, and then I've also heard that he resigned, because he has an official statement where he says he's stepping away from wrestling to focus on personal issues. Now, I don't know if that's, he said, hey, I got stuff I need to work on, I'm going to take some time away, or whether they said, hey, leave, write something like this. You know, I mean, like a lot of jobs will say, you know, hand in your resignation. They're not going to fire you, but they're kind of forcing you. They'll say, hand in your resignation. And basically, if you don't, then we'll hand in your resignation. I expect it on my desk tomorrow. You know, like they say in TV shows and stuff. So it might have been one of those kind of situations.
GFW put out a statement saying that he was taking a indefinite leave of absence, and that he would be available on a consultation basis when he was away for personal reasons. Now, Sports Illustrated came out with an article going deeper into this, saying that Anthem has been losing a lot of money on this venture, that they've had to let, you know, people on their non-wrestling side go to make up for the millions of dollars they're losing on wrestling, that part of this is they're unhappy also with Jarrett, and then he's out. But of course, they're not going to say he's fired. They're just going to slowly, you know, get him off, and then until everybody forgets. Not only that, come to find out that Anthem does not own the name Global Force Wrestling. That while this merger was announced, Jeff Jarrett still owns Global Force Wrestling, the name of that entity.
So he still owns that. So if it goes poorly with him, he could eventually take that name away from them again.
So either it has to go back to Impact Wrestling or TNA, or change something else.
Anthem Entertainment Wrestling or something, you know? Golly, that...
Anthem Wrestling Entertainment.
There you go. You know, that would... And they can make their logo look kind of like an Interstate logo. That would make a lot of our friends really happy. Yeah, just take a Memphis, Tennessee interstate, you know.
Yeah, hey, I mean, you do have to go from Nashville. You go through Georgia to get to the Impact Zone. You got to take the highway, so.
From Hendersonville straight on down. So that's just, yet again, it's just more of a mess with Anthem and Impact and Global Force. I mean, realistically, that's what's kept them in the news and kept them afloat for the last year, is legal drama and behind the scenes stuff that really most fans shouldn't know, but because the way the media and the way that wrestling media is today, the word gets out and it spreads. You know, this is all behind the scenes stuff. They should literally, everywhere online, should be trying to pull away from that news and shoving the product, the wrestling product. They should focus on the presentation of that, getting people to watch that. But the only reason they've been in the news is because of the mess with the Hardys, and then the mess where they were going to go bankrupt, and then the mess where, oh yeah, where Anthem bought into them and saved them, and then they were doing all these other weird things, and then they were changing over to Global Force, and now Jarrett's going away, and Anthem's saying they want out. If they had a, you know, they would like to get out of it because it's costing them so much money and they're not making their money back. Meanwhile, the wrestling product is still there, and it's still there every week. It seems like that, you know, the company, if I were company PR people, if they have any of those that are actually getting paid, my whole thing to do would be to shut everybody up about all this legal stuff and the ownership, and just push the quality of the product. Try to bring the eyes and the focus back to that. You know, and yet again, because of all the management issues and that, you get kind of some inconsistencies in that. And that's, I think that's one of the things too, is because the product isn't interesting enough in itself. You know, you have all these authority figures battling over each other and commentators, you know, battling and all these different things that pull away from the quality of wrestling and the caliber of talent that they have available to them, which was the thing that always made TNA what always got them their fan base, was the caliber of wrestling that at the time WWE was not providing. But now WWE is providing more and more of that higher caliber in-ring product. You know, they have the cruiserweight, the 205 Live, so they have your X division guys now, you know. Heck, I mean, if you look 5 or 6 years ago, most of TNA's top talent, you know, the guys who are at the top of the level in TNA are now in WWE in some capacity.
And vice versa.
Yeah, and some of it's a little bit back and forth. With guys like Lashley and such over there. But it's...
Don't forget Johnny Impact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Goodness. I forgot about him making his debut over there. Holy crap. So it's just... Yeah, there's just some... Yet again, it seems that... I think Impact will forever be known as the company that could have been. You know, because they did start out so strong. They provided an alternative product, you know, and then they got really good and things happened and they got, it's just this opening and closing of how great it was and could have been, and then it fell apart, and how great it could have been and it fell apart. And it's just, yeah, it's with as much financial troubles and management troubles and all this they've had over the years, it's almost kind of a wonder that they're actually still an entity today and that they didn't just sell off the name and the rights to WWE or to somebody else and just fold up shop.
Vince doesn't care about anything other than the tape library.
Yeah, well, that would be it. And then and he could maybe buy the name, the likeness of it, you know, just so he could use it on his television shows too.
Right, the rights to the intellectual property.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and that's pretty much all he would want anyways. They might take some, like they did with WCW, they might take a handful of contracts, but then most of the people would be on the, you know, fighting each other on the indie scene.
And then a year from now, we'll get the death of Global Force Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, TNA.
DVD, yeah. Special. It would be a DVD, though, because... WWE doesn't really release DVDs. It'd just be a series of specials on the network.
They still do sometimes.
That's true. I mean, it's really just a compilation, so they might do that as a special DVD.
Listen, Carol, if you're Anthem, at this point, you're losing all this money, you got worked by Dixie Carter, then you got double worked by Jeff Jarrett. All right? Because first you gave her money to take over the company, then you gave him more money to run your company.
Yep.
They had no business buying Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, it's just because of the personal connections they had with people. That's what talked them into buying it, you know?
How much more different would it have been if they had been sold to Billy Corgan? I mean, it could have been good, it could have been bad, but at least he had an experience with it. And you know what? It would have been... 100% different. He would have changed the name to something brand new. He would have started from scratch. He would have gotten rid of a bunch of people who shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we can hope. And if anything else, would they be in this bad a shape? Or would they be much better? It's kind of like at this stage with the way Impact's looking, you know, at least financially, you say, well, dude, there's not a whole lot of better positions they could, you know, a whole lot of worse positions they could be in unless they file bankruptcy, you know?
So I need your expert opinion, your prediction here. Does Global Force Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, TNA survive 2017? And will they see 2018? And I'm going to give you three options. Likely, maybe, no.
I say maybe because it yet again, it's the world of professional wrestling. So many, anything is possible, but it's going to take, yet again, it's going to take a whole lot of change, a whole lot of changing, restructuring once again, in order to help them survive even this year, let alone to thrive. So it is possible. It just depends on, just there's so many factors to weigh in, but it is still possible to make it at least survive the year. Here we are in September.
Now, if all the reportings are true about all this losing money, everything, I don't think they're going to see the next year. So I'm going with the no. If everything that's been reported is true, then no, they're not going to see 2018. You got to get rid of this company and try to get as much money as you can back, you know, before the next year. It's only the smart thing to do. You don't want to be in a deeper hole come 2018.
Yeah, and that would be one of the more negative outcomes. Yeah,
because if you're losing money now, let's be honest, nothing's changing. It's going to continue to lose money.
Either it's going to continue to lose money, or you're going to have to put a whole lot of money into it, yet again losing money, to try to help it change and grow, which could just cause you to continue to lose even more money. The big question is somebody willing to take a gamble and a chance on it and funnel even more money into it to try to hope that they can turn it around? I would say all strong and investors would say no. They would say let it fall and pick up the pieces and try to rebuild something new from that, rather than try to save what's here.
At this point, they should just try to make as much of their money back as they can before they have to go under. So make it look like, hey, we bought this company and, you know, we did great, but, you know, we got an offer we couldn't refuse. And, you know, you can play that under the table. And then later on, we'll find out they were losing so much money, and then they really bought it for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, which is probably how it'll end, yeah.
In the end, that, you know, Vince McMahon always seems to get what he wants. And, you know, let's say that right now, if they're selling the library and it's intellectual property, why not? When you have guys like AJ Styles and Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, and Drew McIntyre, who was there for a while.
You could put all those things on the network. You could use that for documentaries to show, you know, where they've been. And then you can start releasing, you know, DVDs or whatever of compilations utilizing that footage too, like they have with WCW, you know. The best of Bound for Glory, a DVD set. You know, the best of Slammiversary, 3-DVD set.
And not only that, but then when you talk about intellectual property, you talk about the biggest thing and probably the biggest legal war with Impact Wrestling and the Hardys, with the Broken Universe being an intellectual property that has been fought over between Matt Hardy and Jeff Jarrett.
More of that. If Vince buys that, then in theory he can, you know, negotiate with the Hardys and say, you know, here's how it is. We'll put all this to rest. We'll start with a broken thing, you know, and we'll both make a crap ton of money on it.
In the meantime, GFW is going to have Bound for Glory as their pay-per-view on November 5th. Eli Drake is their world champion.
Yeah. I'm not even sure who he is. Like, I've heard his name, but I've never actually seen him wrestle. He's a homegrown talent with them. And so there's probably a good portion of the Impact fan group that likes that, as he's kind of a homegrown guy.
The only reason why I know who he is because he was on The Rock's reality show a few years back.
Oh, he was. Okay. The Rock and Wrestling Infection. Is that what that was called?
No, it's called Hero. Where regular people did things to prove that they're heroes. Because there's a hero in all of us. Okay, so, and not only that, to get even, to make this even better, because, you know, we couldn't, you know, just because GFW couldn't just get more weird, they announced their new digital expansion. So, they're launching the Global Wrestling Network, and it's going to be a digital service. It's going to have 24/7 access to the GFW and Impact libraries.
Are they selling subscriptions to this, or are they just giving this away? I assume it will be. They might give you 30 days free, you know, but I assume that they'll charge. They have to try to find some way to make money.
And then they're launching the Impact Wrestling Channel on Pluto TV. So they're going off to the universe.
It's not even a planet anymore. What the heck is Pluto TV? Never even heard of that before. Is it like Fight TV? It's just not as popular, I guess. Something kind of like that.
But it's going to be a 24-hour live feed.
Ooh. You got to try new things. You got to try new ways to get money.
Is this a version of like Big Brother? Is a live feed that's always watching? And
it's always watching you. I mean, I guess technically cable channels are that way. 24-hour live feed. Like there's somebody pressing a button that says, make this show play now. Go to commercial now. Like that's a 24-hour live feed, even if it's recorded material. So it's just like an online channel that's always playing or on demand or something. I don't know.
That is as much as they said.
Wow, that's great. That's fantastic too. Yeah, no, I like that.
I think we made a good quota for this month now, until next month when we hear more.
I would say so, yeah. On to bigger and better things.
NXT.
NXT, definitely bigger and better. They already have used the best parts of Impact and Global Force over the last couple of years. And, you know, Drew McIntyre is the champ. I mean, that's fantastic. They're coming off of a takeover and started, you know, they recorded apparently a bunch of new stuff a few weeks ago. There, yet again, our friend Martin Stone Danny Burch was featured. He wasn't in a match, but featured in a backstage segment showing him training for upcoming possible matches. Looked like he might be teaming with Oney Lorcan in the future, which could be a lot of fun as far as a tag team. I think this episode of NXT mostly kind of looked like it was building. Planting seeds and building a lot of things. They had that promo with Johnny Gargano where he's, you know, talking about, who was it, Sabatelli and whatever his Jamoke's friend name. They come over and start taunting him about losing. Johnny says, no, I'm going to be a singles guy. NXT continuing to try to make us give half a crap about Daria Burinati, now Sonya Deville.
I don't give a crap about her.
No, I don't. I don't. You can show all the little promos you want and all this, especially because we know who they have waiting in the wings. Somebody who's actually an MMA star who has made herself into a professional wrestling star. Yet they're still going to try to push this watered down version of Shayna Baszler in our faces. When if you've been watching the Mae Young Classic, you've seen how awesome Shayna is, and they literally have her in the wings just waiting to push her out there and let her start ripping arms off and breaking legs.
And choking people out,
yeah. And she's fantastic. And so, yeah, when you know that she's so close right there, it makes you care even less about Sonya Deville. Whenever I hear the name Deville, I think of Cruella Deville from 101 Dalmatians. So I'm not really afraid of anybody who gets into a ring with the last name of Deville, because I'm thinking of that skinny old broad with the crazy eyes and how you could just thump her and break her little toothpick body.
So a lot of other things happening too. We got to see Ono and Itami battle, and surprisingly, Ono won. I don't know why. I thought they were going to continue to build Itami, but
well, they still can.
Maybe this will give us a bluff, because now they need a blow off Matt.
Yeah, it's kind of still, if you think about it, one guy got up one on the other, so it's still kind of 1-1, even though the match, you know, the win losses don't say exactly that. But so they get a build off maybe for the next takeover. Maybe they do it in a couple weeks. You know, put them in another type of match. These two matches have been fun, so I'd definitely like to see that.
It's made people care more about Hideo Itami. I think that putting him with Ono, who's somebody who can really carry. I mean, not that Hideo Itami needs to be carried because he's a great, talented wrestler, but I think with all his stops and starts, he's had issues because of the injuries. I mean, I've talked a lot about this before, but you know, he just had, you know, a lot of bumps in the road where I think to rebuild him in a proper way, putting him with Ono, somebody who he knows and they work well together, is perfect. I'm stoked about Roddy Strong getting another title shot, not winning the number one contendership by defeating Bobby Roode, as Bobby did the honors on his way out.
And if you've, you know, remember from Evolve when Drew McIntyre, as you know, then Drew Galloway, kind of first debuted on the indie scene. His first big feud in Evolve was with Roderick Strong, and they had some very, very awesome matches. So if these guys can, you know, if these guys can recreate that magic to any kind of small degree, I'd say we're all in for treats as being able to watch them. Yeah, that's, I'm very excited about that. Also, I'm still excited about where exactly they're going with the whole crew. I guess that Future Shock was something they kind of dubbed them as very briefly, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Very interested to see how that continues to play out. You know, is it just going to be a feud with Sanity at first? But they also seem to want Drew McIntyre because he has the champion. So it looks like they're just trying to come for gold and just take, literally just take NXT over and remake it as their own. But they're still playing it very subtly, you know, jumping people. You don't really see much from them. William Regal said, hey, I want you guys here, you know, but you guys are going to have to fight in the ring. Jumping people, and you know, isn't the way to do it, you know. So it seems that they'll get matches or a match sooner than later, which again, I'm excited for. I'm a big fan of all three guys, have been for a long time. So I'm excited to see where that goes. The big thing, her saying her goodbye.
Yeah, we got to see that on the last episode of NXT, the big standing ovation for Asuka as she's relinquished the title.
She traded the belt for a bouquet of flowers, is kind of how they made it seem.
I think that the fact that they decided to place that this week makes me think that they're going to give the title to the winner of the Mae Young Classic next week.
See, I'm still under the impression that, but maybe they say that, you know, since they did, maybe that the winner of the Classic is, will be input into the, into like a number one contendership match. They won't just be handed the title outright.
No, I don't think so. Because against who? You gotta get a match to get another match?
Because they literally come from obscurity. These aren't most, it's not like these are top contenders and this now decides the number one contender. These are,
I understand your point, but wouldn't you say the same thing about TJ Perkins?
Yeah, but see, the thing is with TJ, they created this division because of the Cruiserweight Classic. It wasn't like there was a Cruiserweight Championship that was up for grabs. They said, oh yeah, now that you're winning, here's a belt that you're going to defend. Surprise thing, as opposed to saying, oh, we have this belt, and we're going to just now decide that whoever wins this tournament is getting this belt.
But that's exactly what they did for the Cruiserweight title. Before the match, they said the winner's going to be the Cruiserweight champion. Like,
yeah, but there wasn't a Cruiserweight division already at that point. There wasn't a championship that had been held by people and fought over people, and then they just took away.
I think that putting Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane on the finals means that one of them is getting the belt.
So as we talk, do you think it's going to be Shayna in order to continue to set up the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen at WrestleMania?
Whenever it happens, it's going to happen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have filmed
that whole stupid thing with Ronda and in the backstage and all that. Yeah. So do you think that they will wait all the way until WrestleMania for this? They'll just do pieces of this feud and everything until then.
They could. They have no reason not to. No, Marina is still just, you know, she recently just had her baby, so
like 6 months ago, so who knows what if she's back in fighting shape yet.
Exactly. So she still needs to go back and you know, it's all about basically what Ronda wants and when Ronda wants it. That's the biggest thing. Let's be honest here. Of the eight of them, Ronda is the one carrying this whole thing. If it wasn't for Ronda Rousey, there would be no four horsewomen.
Yeah, it's pretty much Ronda and her friends. That's the horsewomen. Because Ronda was the one who made the biggest name for herself, and then these are her friends that she hangs out with who also train. But if Ronda hadn't become the star she did, we wouldn't be talking about any of this. They wouldn't be the four horsewomen of NXT if it wasn't for Ronda, because nobody would have brought up that name.
Right, and while very talented in her own self, both in MMA and in pro wrestling, Shayna, I think, has also benefited from being associated with
her association. Absolutely, it's opened the door for bookings. It's opened the door for appearances for Shayna to be able to prove what she has to offer. She's a talent. She's a great talent, like you said, in both. But she's had opportunities because she's Ronda's friend, because she's been seen here with Rousey. And yeah, that's why bigger places have booked her in the first place. And then once she gets there, she kicks butt on her own. But it's the getting the door open that she's benefited from. But she's once the door's open, she's well kicked it in. And done very, very well. To see her live is also an amazing thing too. Just even though she's this, you know, this MMA person, which a lot of them, people who transition from other sports, don't really have exactly a charisma. She somehow has she kind of has some in there. She's very good at kind of trash talking during her matches. So she's able to bring a lot of other things to the table rather than just somebody who goes down and, you know, kind of ground grapples and does very, acts very bland. She's managed to round out her package very well, so to speak.
Right.
Make herself a complete package.
So here's why I think things are going this way. Shayna is a heel. She's been established as a heel. Look at what she did with Candice LeRae, not letting the choke go well after she won the match. So she's established as a heel. Kairi Sane was super over with people. I think she'll be very, very good as a babyface. She's got a lot of the great mannerisms and whatnot.
And especially she goes into a match against Shayna, and, you know, you see her arm, Kairi's arm get damaged a lot. You know, those are, of course, her elbow drop. Not just the top rope elbow drop, but several other maneuvers that are very elbow strike heavy. So that's a big part of her offense. You know, that's the story right there. She comes in, she's already beloved, she's already an underdog because her elbow's taped up or what have you. And Shayna's being a heel, being a bad person who wants to, you know, make a statement in other people's names, would literally just go in there and start trying to rip her elbow off her, you know, rip her off her.
So I think, the reason why I think that Shayna's going to win the belt is because her being a heel, there's a lot of more true contenders on the babyface side than there are on the heel side. You know, you talk about possibly the best heels on NXT right now are the Iconic Duo. I think they're going to get called up sooner than later, and they don't need the title. So with that said, you have all these other women that are very babyface. You got, you know, Abby Leith. You have Ruby Riott. You have Ember Moon. You have Nikki Cross. And now you're going to have Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane, and many more, where you can eventually build, you know, go through some of these women that are already established on NXT as babyfaces. I think at some point the big money match will be Shayna Baszler versus Jessie Gabbert,
the one who was the alpha female.
Yes. So I think that's right there the big money matchup.
Yeah, I mean that could definitely be a big money match, even though Jazzy was kind of seen as a heel a little bit in her appearance, mostly just because Abby Leith was already over with the NXT crowd because they've seen her, you know, on a lot of the local house show runs and stuff, so they're kind of more familiar with her.
I think that's when Shayna turns babyface.
Oh, okay, so you think Shayna would turn babyface to go into this feud? Okay, I could see that.
Because remember, Shayna has to turn babyface to then join her fellow four horsewomen.
Well, not necessarily. You know, she could, because otherwise, I mean, are you really think the WWE is going to push face versus face, or are they going to make the WWE girls heel in this four-on-four match?
All of them are going to be loved. It's just going to be a big matchup, four versus four, who are the true four horsewomen.
I mean, they're going to add heat behind it, but it's not like anybody's going to be...
But I think that's something that will happen down the road. So in the meantime, Shayna can be the heel and goes to some of these other challengers. She could even drop the belt. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. I think that's what makes more sense to me if that scenario goes through. But yeah, NXT is looking great because right now Drew has Roddy. And then the next challenger will most likely be Adam Cole.
And then you have Sanity. Even if you're not big on the Sanity gimmick, you can think of Red Dragon versus Sanity coming up. You know, I mean, and then hopefully before we'll see TM5K back.
TM61.
6-1, excuse me, 5K. I don't even know what the heck. Okay. TM61 will be back, hopefully, before the end of the year. So that'll be another strong tag team in there, you know, as presumably the Authors of Pain are main roster bound now that they've lost the belts and have kind of been hidden since they lost the belts.
Yeah, so all good things on the land down in Florida.
Yes.
So now let's go to the West Coast. We go from the East Coast to the West Coast. Let's talk about the Underground.
The Lucha Underground, as they continue to get closer and closer to Ultima Lucha Tres, which is apparently going to be 4 weeks of television, the last four episodes of the season, a four-parter.
Of course, next week is going to be the 100th episode of Lucha Underground.
Okay.
But still, no word on a fourth season. It has not been officially renewed by El Rey.
Anything that we've heard is that, you know, they asked certain wrestlers to keep, you know, approximate dates open for now. But they haven't announced anything. They haven't officially, if El Rey is going to renew it. I don't know if it'll hang on how well, you know, the ratings and stuff do. If maybe El Rey is looking to try to expand their cable packaging, you know, maybe they're going to try to put, you know, put their episodes not only on Netflix, but maybe elsewhere too. I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, it seems like you'd want to continue. I assume it's making them at least their money back. If they were having money problems, I'm pretty sure we would have heard about it. We hear about everybody else having money problems.
Well, we know that they don't do a lot of great jobs on the rating side.
The channel isn't on a lot of cable packages. That's the big thing.
And the thing is also that the people behind El Rey are big fans and supporters of Lucha Underground. So that's part of the reason why it all happened in the first place. And they'll put that together. The other thing also being that I hear that the temple has been reserved. So the place is reserved. Wrestlers have been told to hold the date. They're just waiting for the final word. And then they're going to be filming for about 4 or 5 weekends for however many episodes they get renewed for.
Yeah. Yeah.
But likely we won't see, you know, another episode, you know, and the next season probably until maybe summer of next year, I would think. If they film the end of this year, there's no way you have all the stuff edited in the spring. But again, no word on that. As you see, people are taking bookings elsewhere. We see them on, you know, striking deals. You know, GFW has Johnny Impact and Drago.
Taya Valkyrie's debuting this week as well. You know, I mean, and then some people are kind of counting down the days till those till their no compete clauses are done with Lucha Underground, so that they can, you know, go on to different things.
Right. So speaking of that, we know what one of the big matches, if not the biggest match for one of the matches we know are going to happen at Ultimo Lucha 3 is going to be Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma in a championship versus career match. Mundo puts the Lucha Underground Championship on the line. Prince Puma puts his career.
Well, yet again, though, in theory, if they are renewed, it's been pretty much known that Prince Puma, Ricochet, does not want to come back for another season. He wants to, you know, he wants to be do other things in wrestling. He doesn't want to be there. And Johnny's now with Impact, if they're still around for how long, whoever knows. So come the start of season 4 of Lucha Underground, whenever that may be, neither person may be wanting to be with Lucha Underground. Neither Johnny nor Puma. So it's kind of not really sure. I mean, in theory, you would think that Ricochet, you know, Prince Puma would lose and his career would be done. But in theory, in reality, it could be neither guy could come back for season 4.
Right. Another match that we know we're getting at Ultima Lucha 3 is going to be Phoenix versus Marty the Moth in a mask versus hair match.
Luchas de apuestas.
And Melissa Santos, who, of course,
dating Phoenix, yeah, kind of the on-air love interest, so to speak, and Marty's been stalking her for, you know, ever since he's been in.
So those are two big matches right there. The main event, you know, most likely heading one way. If everybody, you know, wondering what the future will be of Prince Puma, Ricochet. Most likely 100% gone from Lucha Underground. And then hair versus mask. It'll be interesting here. But I don't think Phoenix is losing his mask anytime soon.
I wouldn't think.
So that's so far two things we know are happening. More will probably be announced over the next few weeks. As we like to stay spoiler free on this. Even though it's been...
We try our best, yeah.
I mean, this was all... done, you know, old tape last year, so we could go out our way to find out what happened and what's all gonna happen, but we'd rather try to, you know, keep it spoiler free, which brings me to one of the other bigger spots, and that's the Gift of the Gods championship match, which will be most likely happening sometime between now and Ultima Lucha 3.
So you think that they Do you think that they'll wait for Ultima Lucha 3 to have the Gift of the Gods match, the 7-way, to determine the Gift of Gods champion?
I'm not sure. I mean, they could wait to do it then, or they might do it earlier. It depends on what their plans are. I mean, they do have 3 more weeks of television. Of course, next week, on the 100th episode of Lucha Underground, they'll have Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Matanza Cueto. That's going to be a huge match. For the 100th episode, so it could happen before then. Right now, we have so far 6 medallions, the golden Aztec medallions, which of course 7 make up the belt. Right, yes. Now, the people holding medallions as of this past Wednesday, the Rabbit Tribe, Paul London, Saltador, and Mala Suerte each have a medallion. Also, Son of Havoc has a 4th medallion. Then Drago has the 5th medallion. And lastly, Cortez Castro has the 6th medallion. So that's 1 left. So depending on whenever the 7th medallion is won, they've got plenty of time to set it up and put it. I could see it either... I could see that happening anytime because, you know, with the Gift of the Gods championship, it's kind of like the Money in the Bank.
It is, but it isn't. They've never had somebody literally run out mid-match and say, "Give put me, you know, give me a championship. They've always kind of said, I'm cashing this in, I want my shot, and they usually do it the following week.
Right. So it could happen in many different ways. So they have that. So that's what I'm saying, is like, depending on when they want to do it, when the cash in match of the championship is done, it just depends, you know, because if it's done early in Ultima Lucha Tres versus in the end.
Yeah, it seems they would definitely at least award the championship, you know, going into the end of the season.
So sometime in the next few weeks, the actual match will happen. But we have 6 out of 7 so far. Lucha Underground, pretty much, I think it's starting to pick up a little bit. You know, season two, now, I know you didn't officially watch season 1 when it first happened. You picked up on season 2.
I picked up at the start of season 2, and then I went back and watched season 1 through Netflix.
Season 2, you know, as you probably know now, not as good as season 1. But then I think the latter half of season 3 has picked it up a little more. A very long season here, season 3. We've been watching it for almost 2 years, I feel.
Well, with breaks in between, it very well could be almost 2 years.
I mean, I am exaggerating. The first episode of season 1 was September 7th, which actually is a year from today, as we're recording this on a Thursday. So not 2 years, but so far it's been a year we've been watching season 3.
An entire year, and then we still have a good 5 or 6 episodes left. We have all of Ultima Lucha Tres.
Yeah, we currently have 6 episodes left. So yeah, this show is going to be over a year long, but I've been enjoying more the last few episodes, the latter part of the season, a little bit more. So I definitely do hope that they get renewed. They do some interesting things that I enjoy. They do things a little bit different than the traditional wrestling. So that's definitely something that I think attracts a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So that's Lucha Underground. Danny, I know a lot is happening for you. You did commentary for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment a couple of weeks ago with Tamika.
Yeah, for the Monday Night Roar event.
As you guys are the new announcing team, you replaced me once, replaced me everywhere, Danny.
That's, well, you know, I mean, as you move on to higher profile backstage roles, somebody's got to go out there and make our face known. So Tamika and I will also be doing Mucha Lucha Atlanta 13 event coming up on October 8th. We'll be doing that. We'll also be doing the next Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment show on 9/24, the one 8 weeks later. We'll go anywhere, I guess, that'll have us at this point. You know, wrestling's cutest commentary team coming at you. Like I joked, the t-shirts will be coming before the end of the year. Probably not, but hey, you know, if people can travel as a ref and travel as a manager and all these kind of things, why can't we travel as commentators?
You got to make money somehow, right?
That's it, man. We're all just trying to live this crazy dream of wrestling, man.
So if you want to catch Danny's commentary for AWE and Roar, I'm sure that will come out sooner than later. We hope a lot of great content that they're putting out, of course, as well MLA worldwide with some of the best lucha stars in the world, I'll say.
Some of the best in the world, yeah. And some of the best action you'll see. Definitely, you know, as far as lucha goes in the Southeast.
So, Danny, good luck with all that. Make sure you keep very well hydrated. And we'll talk again next weekend here on the Fans of Wrestling show. That is the show for tonight. Thanks for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe. Check us out on Twitter at FOW Radio. Tamika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.